The Gospel of John, chapter 1. The title of our message this morning is John, the Witness. Most of us know the John that I'm speaking about this morning as John the Baptist, but I'm calling him John, the Witness, because that's really what he was. He was a witness for Jesus Christ. An expert witness for Jesus Christ, one of the greatest examples in all of Scripture of a witness for Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we should aspire to be like him. And I'm hoping that we will learn to be more like him as we study a little bit about his life this morning. Father, as we turn our attention to your word now, I ask that you would bless this time. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us. Lord, take us deeper. Take us into the unknown. Lord, I pray that as your people, we would be truly committed to being good witnesses for you. That would matter. Speak to us. Equip us, encourage us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is absolutely clear. All born-again Christians are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That is our job description. That is why we are alive on planet Earth, to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. The Great Commission that Jesus gave applies to all. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's for all of us as Christians. The promise that Jesus made in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. If you're a born-again Christian, you are to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And hopefully, all of us want to be the best witness that we can be. And we have much that we can learn from John's example. Remember that John the Apostle, the writer of this book, has already mentioned John the Baptist, or John the Witness, as I'm calling him this morning here in chapter 1. Look what he said of him in verse 6. He said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John is referred to as a man who was sent by God to bear witness. He was sent on a mission by God. And this word sent is very serious in the original Greek language. It's the Greek word apostello, where we get our English word apostle. An apostle is a sent one, a dispatched one. Men and women who are sent by God. The 12 apostles were sent by God to found the church. Paul the apostle was sent to the Gentiles with the gospel message of faith in Jesus Christ. And John was sent by God to bear a witness of the light. And you know, when people know that they are sent by God, they know that they're on a very holy mission and that it's very important. All of the great men and women throughout church history who have been used by God to do great things have all had this sense of being sent by the Lord. Martin Luther believed that he was sent by God to start the Reformation. Charles Spurgeon believed that he was sent by God to preach. John Wycliffe believed that he was sent by God to translate the scriptures into the language of common people. William Wilberforce, his story is amazing. He considered himself as a man sent by God to abolish slavery in Great Britain. And his story is absolutely amazing. He was a member of Parliament. He was kind of a sickly little guy, but he could speak very powerfully in the power of the Lord. One person said, "Whenever I saw him speak, the shrimp became a whale." Back in 1789, he gave his first speech in Parliament against slavery. In 1791, he introduced a bill to abolish the slave trade. It was rejected. The next year, he reintroduced the bill. It was rejected. It was rejected for the next 42 years, but then adopted on July 29th, 1833, 1 month after he died. And you say, how does a man stay driven like that? How do you stop a guy? What does that guy have? I'll tell you what he has. A sense of calling. This sense that I have been sent by God to perform this act. It's a holy task. I won't stop. Nothing will deter me. And I say that to you because I believe that all of us as Christians are sent ones. I don't know if you've ever looked at your life like that as a Christian. You are sent by God to bear witness. God has sent you into your career. God has sent you into your family. God has sent you into your school. God has sent you into your neighborhood. Perhaps God has sent you to take care of the homeless people in this community. Perhaps God has sent you to minister to special needs children. And that purpose motivates you. If you want to be a good witness for Jesus Christ, like John, then recognize you've been sent. You. Into that own sphere of influence that God has given to you. And in that sphere of influence, you are to bear witness for Jesus Christ. Understand the importance of that, the responsibility of that, actually the beauty of that, the fact that God would use us. So John recognized that he was sent by God, and that motivated him, and so should it us. Okay, let's continue looking at John's life. Look at verse 19. It says, "Now, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered and said, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Okay, so remember what's going on here. John's ministry was very unique, and he's a very interesting character in Scripture. A mighty man of God. In fact, Jesus called John the Baptist the greatest man. He loved the Lord from birth. He was a Nazarite from birth. He was a recluse, sort of. He was on his own. He lived in the wilderness. He ate locusts and wild honey. Mmm, yum, right? He wore camel's hair robes. He was sort of a rebel guy. I always picture him with black leather, where, you know, riding on a Harley Davidson or something. That guy. And he was a very powerful preacher, an extremely powerful communicator. And he comes on the scene and he's preaching and he's attracting huge crowds. Crowds are going out to hear him preach in the wilderness. And he begins baptizing multitudes of people in the Jordan River. All these people are coming to hear John preach. And so the religious leaders in Jerusalem, the Pharisees, the Levites, all those folks, they need to investigate John. Who's this guy? What's he all about? And so right here in this text, they send a little delegation to John, and they have questions for John. And their basic question is this: who are you? What's your title? Why are you baptizing people? What's this all about? And I want you to notice here that John is this very humble guy who doesn't want to draw any attention to himself. He does not like the focus. He doesn't want the attention of people to be on him. And so when they ask him, "Are you the Christ?" he says, "I'm not the Christ." "Are you Elijah?" Why would they ask him if he was Elijah? Because there's an Old Testament prophecy in Malachi 4 that says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." By the way, those are the last two verses in the Old Testament, the promise that an Elijah-like guy would come. And so they thought, "Well, are you Elijah?" And he says, "I'm not that guy. I'm not Elijah." Then they said, "Well, are you the prophet?" Why would they ask him if he's the prophet, capital P? Because there was another prediction in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Lord says to Moses, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth." So they were also looking for someone like Moses to come along. And they say, "Are you that guy?" And he says, "No, I'm not. I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. I don't have a title." And the more they ask him about himself, the less he says. You notice his answers become less and less and less. First he says, "I'm not the Christ." And then he's asked if he's Elijah, and he says, "I am not." Then he asks if he's the prophet, and he says, "No. I don't want your attention. Don't give me any of your attention." John didn't want accolades. He didn't want people fawning all over him. He wanted to be a very, very humble, behind-the-scenes type of guy. And let me tell you this, good witnesses for Jesus Christ are like that. Good witnesses for Jesus Christ don't want attention. Don't ever serve Christ so that you can get attention, so that you can get accolades and all the pats on the back from people. You don't want any attention. And unfortunately, I have met Christians that are like that. You know, there are Christians out there and they serve Christ, but they do it because they like the applause of people. You know, the Christian, every single time they're serving Christ in whatever capacity, they have to post it on Facebook. Look, here I am reading my Bible. Look, here I am feeding someone. Look, here I am at a Bible study. Look at me, now I'm on a mission trip. So what? Just do that. I have met big shot pastors who want to be treated like celebrities. I have met big shot evangelists that who want to be treated like celebrities. We are not to be drawing attention to ourselves. Amen? Amen. Listen, if God, by the grace of God, he uses any one of us. By the grace of God. We need to be like John. Hey, don't give me any attention. Now you're going to find that when you serve Christ, you're going to be encouraged. And that's good. People will come along and they will encourage you. And they may compliment you. And that's good. And we should encourage one another and say, hey, I see this about you. However, don't feed on that. Don't let those things go to your head. Don't serve Christ because of that. Remember that God is just using you. Corrie ten Boom struggled with all the compliments that she used to get after she would speak to crowds. She really struggled with that. People would come up to her all the time. Oh, man, you're such a great speaker. And this is how she began to handle it. She said, and I quote, "When people come up and give me a compliment, Corrie, that was a good talk, or Corrie, you were so brave." She said, "I take each remark as if it were a flower. And at the end of each day, I lift up the bouquet of flowers I've gathered throughout the day and say, here you are, Lord, it's all yours." That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. The good witness for Jesus Christ doesn't want attention. John did not want attention. Instead, he wanted to direct attention to whom? Jesus. John was all about pointing people to Jesus. John exalted Jesus. He knew what his role was. He says, I'm not a big deal. I'm just a voice. He knew that he was fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40, which he quotes in verse 23. "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." He knew that he was the fulfillment of that prophecy. And what was he supposed to be? A forerunner, an advance man, somebody who lays the stage for the real star that's going to come on the scene. And he exalted Christ. You can see, there's one coming who's to be way more preferred than I am. He tells people, there's one coming who I'm not even worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. You know, in those days, to untie the strap of a sandal before washing feet was the duty of the lowest slave in the house. And John is saying, I am not worthy to be the lowest slave in the house of Jesus. He's to be exalted. Good witnesses do that. Good witnesses do not want to share space with Jesus. Good ministries are always pointing to Jesus, exalting Jesus, magnifying him. Be sure that you're doing that. One evening, the great conductor Toscanini conducted Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, and it was a brilliant performance. I mean, just a rousing standing applause, ovation. It went on and on and on. They just kept applauding the man and the orchestra. Toscanini, after the ovation turned down, got the attention of his musicians, and he whispered to them. He said, gentlemen, I'm nothing. And then he said, gentlemen, you're nothing. And then he said, gentlemen, Beethoven is everything. Everything. That's how you and I need to be as witnesses of Jesus Christ. Our attitude should be, I am nothing. You are nothing. He is everything. We want people in touch with Christ, amen? Not us. I want you to notice also that John's ministry was one of preparation. It was one of preparation. As the forerunner, he was preparing people for the Lord. As he puts it, quoting again Isaiah 40 in the end of verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. That is what John was supposed to be about. He was supposed to make the path to Jesus straight. He was to make it easy for people to come to Jesus. You know, you picture this road that's all these twists and turns and all this peril on it. And John's like the guy who's supposed to straight path. No twists and turns, straight to the Lord. Or you picture a road that has a bunch of potholes in it and rocks and obstacles. John saw himself as the workman clearing the road of boulders. You know, the royal king is going to visit the city. Let's get the roads in order. His baptism was one of preparation. John baptized people in preparation for the kingdom of God that was about to be at hand. He was calling people to repent. His baptism was basically saying this, get cleaned up. Get ready for the royal visit. The one greater than I is coming. That's what good witnesses are. My brother, my sister in Christ, listen carefully. As witnesses, we are to make it easy for people to come to Jesus. We're to clear the path. Clear the road. Do you make it easier for people to come to Jesus? You know, I have found over the years that a lot of people have issues with Christianity. They have questions. They have objections. And those are like little boulders on their road to Jesus. And as Christians, we should be able to answer those objections. You know, people may not be attracted to Christianity because they believe in something called evolution. And your job is to clear that up. Or some morality issue. You know, as witnesses, we better be very good at that. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Christian, you study the Bible not just for personal nourishment, but for armor, you know, weaponry, knowledge that can clear the path for people. dialoguing with people, sharing the truth, answering objections. Now, I can remember, I've been sharing my faith actively for many, many years. And I remember when I first started doing it, you get some questions that stump you. You go, huh? You know what? No big deal. Just say, hey, let me go study and I'll get back to you. And then you go back and you study, you read a book, you do your own research, you understand the Bible, and then you go back and you share. And then they ask you another question that's going to stump you. That's okay. You go back, you study, and over the years, as you go through that process, you're going to have a toolkit. You're going to have this whole storehouse of answers. But you got to start. You don't start witnessing when you've got that. You start witnessing in order to get that. So that's one way, I believe, that we clear the path for those to come to Christ. There's another way, and it's probably even more important. Make it easy for people to come to the Lord by living a life in front of them that makes them want to come to the Lord. You know, it's sad. There are many Christians who become obstacles to people coming to Jesus Christ by the way they live. They claim that they know Christ. They claim that they've been born again. And yet they go out there and there's virtually no difference between the way they live and the way that the world lives. And the world looks at that person and says, your faith doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't impact your life. Why should I expect it to impact mine? Don't be an obstacle to people coming to Christ. Live a godly Christian life in front of people, married couples, married Christian couples. Let your marriage, let people see your marriage and be attracted to Christ by the way you act in your marriage, by the way you work at the office, by the way you do things in business. By the joy that you have in knowing Christ. By the peace that you've been given in Jesus Christ, let all that shine. Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify whom? Your Father who's in heaven. Clear the path for people. Live that life that you need to be living. I would also add about John that he was extremely bold, wasn't he? John was a very, very bold witness for Jesus Christ. He lived out loud. And I would encourage all of us as Christians to be bold, to live out loud. Don't be reluctant as a witness of Jesus Christ. Be proud of it. Be proud of it. Shine. Be bold. Share the truth when you know you need to share it. Live it differently. Okay. What did John say about Jesus? Who did he say Jesus was? Well, look what happens the next day. Verse 29, after this delegation of Pharisees leaves. The next day, verse 29, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Okay, John's gospel does not record the actual event where John baptizes Jesus in the Jordan. Those are recorded in the other synoptic gospels. At this point, he has already baptized Jesus. After the baptism in the Jordan River, Jesus goes out into the wilderness for 40 days, you remember, and he's tempted. John's gospel does not record that. The other gospels do. This is Jesus coming back to John in public after those events are already taking place. And this is John saying of Jesus in public, "That's the guy. That's the guy that I baptized earlier. That's the guy who I saw those Holy Spirits descend upon him like a dove. That's the Messiah. That's the one that should be preferred." And if you notice, verse 34, he says, "I have seen and testified that this is the whom?" Jesus is the Messiah. John would say, Jesus is the Son of God. That's what we teach. That's what we tell people about Jesus. No, he's not just another spiritual leader. He's not just another figure in history. Jesus is the unique, only begotten Son of God. We tell people that. And John also said of Jesus in verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Christian, that's what we tell. We tell people that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's our witness. We tell people that he is the only one who takes away the sin of the world. And at that point, as a Christian, when you witness to people, you tell them, look, the problem with the human race is sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And our sin separates us from a holy God. And because we are sinners, we deserve death and judgment and condemnation. But then we tell them that God sent a lamb, the Son, who takes away the sin of the world. And we tell them about the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for the sins of the world. And how he came and lived the perfect life and took the sin of all sinners upon himself and died in our place and endured the wrath of God and on the third day rose again. And when you place your faith in him, you are forgiven. Your sins are taken away. We tell them about the Lamb. We tell them about what he's done. The Lamb of God. When I hear that term, I'm always thinking back to Passover. Remember the first Passover? Remember what happened in the first Passover? God was going to send judgment to the nation of Egypt. He was going to send the death angel coming into Egypt, visiting each household. And the firstborn son of each family would be put to death. A horrific judgment. But to his people, he said, take a lamb. Slaughter that lamb. Collect the blood of that lamb. Apply it to the door frames of your house. And when judgment comes to your household, when the death angel comes to your household, he'll see the blood of the lamb applied. And he'll pass over. You'll be spared. That's so rich. Scripture says we are sinners and we deserve judgment. But the Lamb of God has been slain. His blood has been shed. He has paid the price. And when you receive Jesus Christ and you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, the blood of Christ is applied to your house, your heart. And therefore, the judgment of God passes over you because it rested on Jesus in your behalf. He washes away our sin. We point people to Jesus. We tell people who he is. And by the way, that is the main truth of our witness. To point people to Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on the cross. We don't point people to Jesus to say, oh, he's going to give you a great life. He's going to fix all your problems. He's going to make you rich. He's going to do this and this and this. No, you point people to Jesus Christ because only Jesus Christ can wash away their sins. I agree with what one Christian author said. He said, Christianity is a bloody religion. The blood of Christ cleanses us all of sin. This reality must be primary in our witness and in our thinking. Yes, Christ came to give abundant life. Yes, Christ worked miracles, and he can work miracles in our lives today. But these are benefits of the gospel, not the gospel itself. The gospel centers upon Christ as the sin bearer, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Everything else flows from that. Everything else. My brother and my sister in Christ, remember that you are sent from God. Do not draw attention to yourself. Give all attention to the Lord Jesus. Exalt him. Be a person who makes it easy for people to come to Jesus. Be bold, live out loud, and share with people who Jesus is as you have opportunity. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so, Lord, make that so in our lives. Father, make us better witnesses. Lord, I pray that we would truly, truly recognize how important it is to know that you have sent each one of us. And we do have a role to fill. And I pray, Lord, that you would make us skillful. I pray that we would be witnesses that draw attention to you, not ourselves. Lord, make us good students of your word. Lord, give us those answers to help us deal with other issues and questions that people have. Lord, I pray we would be encouraged to live holy lives in front of other people. And give us opportunity, Lord, to tell lots of people who you are. And Heavenly Father, right now, I would like to pray for anyone here this morning who has never opened their hearts to receive you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Christ. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But let me ask you, is he your Lamb personally? Have you received him? Have you acknowledged your need? Have your sins been washed away? If you've never had your sins washed away, if you've never opened your heart to Christ, do so right now. You will become born again. You will become forgiven. Become a child of God. Life will change forever. If that's you, I want to lead you in this prayer. Just Simply say, Lord Jesus, be my lamb. Take away my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, in my place. Right now, I put my faith and my trust in you. Make me brand new. Baptize me with fire. Fill my life with your Spirit. Change me from the inside out. And make me a good witness for you for the rest of my days upon this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's close with a song. After this service, we're going to have folks up here in the front. And if you prayed to receive Christ, I want to invite you to come forward and share that with one of us. Or if you need prayer for any reason, we'd be delighted to pray with you and for you.